Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me on this lovely Sunday evening is Andrew. Andrew, how's it feel to be in the Sweet 16?
It feels great, Kevin. These 2 years, even though we've had some great basketball, have been very lonely at this time of year. Basketball season ends for me when the Jayhawks lose. So usually I'm completely tuned out the past 2 years, moved on to other things. But this year, it's different. It's exciting. And I'm ready to go to the Sweet 16. You know, I just want to say, apologize officially to you, Kevin, for 2 years ago after the Stanford loss. We were in Las Vegas, Nevada. I changed my flight immediately after the loss and left about an hour later. And I found you at a craps table and I said, I'm leaving. And you said, what? And so I just want to officially apologize to you now that
it's a bad time.
Yeah, it's been 2 years since I did that.
You know what that was, Andrew? I'll tell you what that was. That was
probably the biggest dick move. Dick move. Dick.
Yeah.
Dick move.
I know.
That was a dick move.
I know it was. But this year, all good. You can understand my emotions. These are all the emotions that are built up around this second round game. Finally, past 2 years, we're over that hump. We're moving on. We're going to play Maryland. That has just gone official here on a Sunday night. I think the only games that are left for us, so we're not going to know to do any instant analysis in case there's a last second shot, is the Northern Iowa game and the Oregon game. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, we might miss Wisconsin Xavier, but
whatever, doesn't matter. So, but the only game that really mattered this weekend was the Austin Let's Go Pee game and the UConn game. We have a lot to talk about, Kevin. Can you give us a little rundown of what we're going to do?
Absolutely. Obviously, we're going to talk about those two games. We're going to try to get Frank Mason right. I don't know if you noticed this, but he's not quite right. We're going to do our best. We did it with Wayne.
Right. I'm going to stop and just say, I'm going to take all the credit for this podcast that we got Wayne right.
We got Wayne right, I think.
We got a little Korean meditation session going on.
Yep.
Some little Korean music, Korean food situation going on. Just sending out good vibes to Wayne. We got to do the same thing for Frank.
We got to find a way. Okay, and then we're going to talk about the Big 12 a little bit. We've had some interesting games of Big 12 members in the tournament. We're going to talk about our favorite moments in the tourney so far, because this tournament has been bonkers and so much fun, even just beyond the KU stuff. Andrew, we're going to talk about Louisville as well, because we got a lot of fans traveling down there, a lot of KU faithful making the trip, 7.5-hour drive to Louisville. And then we're going to preview Maryland. We got to preview the game coming up. And then, Andrew, we'll close with another rendition of Step Your Game Up.
I love it, Kevin. Okay, I want to talk about Austin Let's Go Pee. You know, just for those two games, you know, we've had great first halves. And then I think we led up in both halves. But are you concerned about that just from the outset?
No. I mean, it's so hard to keep focus when you're up 20 in the first half. And they both halves, we were up 20.
Okay.
I mean, what can you do?
Okay, I'm ready to move on from that as well. But let's talk about Austin Peay. We won 105-79. Player of the game. Maybe it's Perry Ellis, but if it's not Perry Ellis, it is our favorite player, Sviatoslav Mikhailuk, who went 9-for-11 with 4-for-5 from 3, 23 points. And, you know, probably his best game of the year. They were saying about him, you know, if no one really even knew about him, you know, coming into the tournament. No one, like, everybody's talking about Perry Ellis. Everybody's talking about Frank Mason and Wayne Selden. Who's this Ukrainian dude lighting up Austin Peay? Didn't have a great game against UConn, but, you know, it's just these weapons on this KU team that can come off the bench and light you up for 23 on a random night.
Love it. Yeah, we just need one of them. We've talked about this. Brandon or Svi, somebody come off the bench and make 3 threes or 4 threes a game. And we're going to win every game. We just need one of those guys to come off the bench and produce immediate offense, and we're going to be just fine. And that game, it was obviously Svi. He killed it.
You know, I think that we played like a number one seed supposed to. We weren't you know, tied or trailing at halftime like North Carolina was. I think they were up by one. You know, I mean, I think they, you know, they had a good game in their second game, but, you know, didn't face any obstacles. It was the easy one it's supposed to be against the 16 seed.
Agreed. Yeah, we did what we're supposed to do. And then, Andrew, we have advanced to the round of 32 for the 10th straight year. That's got to be, like, the longest streak running, right?
Yeah, well, that is the longest streak. That was a tweet and a message or a talking point on TV. It's just incredible to think about that it was 10 and 11 years ago, or 11 and 12 years ago, that we had those crazy losses to Bucknell and Bradley.
Bucknell.
It's been that long. It's been that long. And then after that, we've won the most first round games, you know, since that time. So it just goes to show you, when something goes wrong for Bill Self, he fixes it and then goes on an incredible streak to solve whatever problem had happened. So let's hope we get into the Sweet 16 for the next 18 years on some incredible streak. A couple other things on the Austin Peay game. The first time a team hit triple digits in the tourney in 4 years.
That's something.
Pretty incredible. And, you know, shout out to Austin Peay, the Governors. The Governors, you know, did their best, but, you know, sorry, 16 didn't beat a one this year.
Shout out to Austin Peay. Let's move on to Connecticut. I got nothing else to say about that game. Do you? Let's move on.
Other than the new guy at the Topeka Capital Journal, Matt Galloway, had an incredible tweet.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't think he's the actual
guy. He's the interim beat reporter. So shout out to Matt Galloway, who had a tweet that said something like, Kansas is destroying the Governors, which is odd because it's usually the other way around.
Right.
Tweet of the tournament.
Pretty good.
The tournament, Matt Galloway.
Pretty good.
Clap my hands to you. Okay, I want to talk about UConn.
Let's do it. The first thing that I want to say about UConn, obviously, was getting off to that incredible start. I mean, nailing our first, what, four threes. The nail was almost in the coffin 10 minutes into that game. And I did not expect that. I did not expect that at all. I thought it was going to be a decent game, a fairly close game. I thought Connecticut was a decent to good team. You know, obviously they're top 25 in KenPom. But man, Andrew, we just derailed them from the beginning. And a lot of it was toughness and out rebounding them and getting every loose ball. And we out rebounded them 42-21. That's insane. I mean, we doubled them up in rebounds. So, and obviously the offense was going in the first, everything was going in that first half. It was a lot of fun.
You know, and we had a bunch of turnovers, and that kind of led to, you know, them getting back in the game. Had some minor hiccups in the second half. You know, they did outscore us by 8 in the second half, but it's so tough to play from that far ahead. And the game wasn't really ever in jeopardy. They got it down to single digits, but it was just kind of, we had to stick our arm out and keep us from kicking us in the face the last few minutes. And it wasn't that big of a deal, but
and they did it too. Like, that's the key though. That could have got away. Like, if they'd have made two more threes and we'd have stopped scoring, like continued to stop scoring, what did we score? Like 6 points in the first 10 minutes in the second half. But they, whatever happened, I mean, Perry hit that jumper and then Wayne hits two great drives. And that's the kind of, that was what made me feel so much better about the team and the game generally. Cause you knew they were going to at least make an effort to come back. You knew that it was going to be something. But KU took the punch and then counterpunched, and that's what I liked.
Well, and give some props to UConn and Kevin Ollie. I think in the second half, the UConn players responded and definitely went on a run. They could have easily just rolled over. Could have easily rolled over. And then props to Kevin Ollie as well, because I think this was a game of adjustments, where in the first 10 minutes of that second half, they really made an adjustment to take Perry Ellis out of the game. I think there was a readjustment where Perry made an impact in the last 10 minutes to close the game. So, you know, it really was a back and forth player battle, but I think coaching battle as well. So, I mean, I tip my hat to Kevin Ollie for doing that. You know, and it's, maybe I should have done this a lot earlier. He did win 7 straight NCAA tournament games before his first loss yesterday. So, you know, I saw some pretty good stuff from him.
Absolutely. I think he's a good coach, and that's why I think he'll probably get some more looks in the NBA if he wants to potentially look that way. I think he's with Hoiberg gone now. You always hear about the college coaches, the hot, you know, younger coaches being potentially, he's probably the next guy on the list, right?
He's probably the next guy on the list. You know, he could stay at UConn forever. Yeah. But you know, if the right opportunity pops up, you know, he turned down Oklahoma City, or at least told Oklahoma City he wasn't interested.
Which is nuts.
Which is nuts.
Nuts.
But, you know, if something pops up, I'd see him taking a look again. But let's talk about a couple of our players, some standout guys. Of course, Wayne Seldon. You can talk about the 8 for 14 for 22 and 7 rebounds. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about
the I know what dunk. You want to talk about.
I want to talk about the dunk, which was been playing on my phone through a Vine basically all day today. And, like, they've slowed it down where Devontae does the alley-oop, and it's really slow, and it shows you how close it is to the fingertips of the UConn player. And then Wayne cocking back from – usually I hate the weird camera angles on these CBS tournament games.
It was perfect for that.
But it was perfect for this.
We got to see every angle of it.
All weird angles from the bottom, from the top, from the side, from the rafters.
You got drones flying around.
Yeah, the drone angle, that was – it was amazing. So that's basically – you know, the rest of the game, whatever. I'm not going to remember, not going to care. I'm going to remember the dunk.
Yeah, that was a sick dunk. That was a great pass, great play. I have one small beef with the dunk, though.
What?
It's not the dunk. It's actually the coverage of the dunk. You talked about all the angles. That's great. They did a good job. We saw every angle, the slow motion, takeaway. It was amazing. I have one small beef, though. Where the hell was Uncle Anthony?
Right! Okay.
Why did they not cut to Uncle Anthony?
We were robbed. Robbed of our Uncle Anthony.
So here's the thing. You could see him. He was in the background of one of those mini shots. You could actually see him react. It was a great reaction. Instead, they panned the crowd of, like, all these old, like, white people that were in attendance. They're
all just great. Which is great. Standing there, like, a lot of KU fans in Des Moines. Great. Yeah. Fine. Them.
I want to see Uncle Anthony's reaction to this.
Right.
And he had a reaction, I promise you, because the guy behind him picked Uncle Anthony up. I actually, like, stood next to my TV and, like, got close to see what Uncle Anthony was doing. It was a great reaction. I wonder, Andrew, if CBS has a problem with Uncle Anthony.
Because
we didn't
do.
See him once.
Well, we know they know about him, right?
Of course they
Any
know about
producer
him.
Producer worth his salt has knows the name Uncle Anthony and what his deal is.
They've made a conscious decision not to show Uncle Anthony. I want answers. I want to know why.
And really, it's just disappointing. CBS, I want to know why. Usually your coverage is spot on. A-OK, other than your weird kooky camera angles. But this situation, unacceptable.
We got problems. I'm going to call. Let's get our friend of the podcast, Matt Norlander, on the case here and find out what is going on, why they hate Uncle Anthony.
Can you call up Les Moonves? See what the situation is on why we're not getting any Uncle Anthony airtime. Because that would have been perfect. Jim Nance didn't have anything to talk about anyway.
No. God. You know what? I don't want to talk about that. Anyway, whatever. Hey, by the way, Grant Hill on the coverage. Not bad.
Pretty good? Yeah.
Not bad. Doesn't bother me. Yeah. Not bad. Even though I do
a pretty good job of choosing the right people.
Yeah.
Usually when you hear about who it's going to be, you're like, really? But... you know, I think they've picked the right people for the job. There's a couple who I'm not a huge fan of, but for the most part, excellent.
I was gonna judge it, but it was better than I expected. So anyway, all right. Well, anything else to talk about from that UConn game?
Well, Perry is the steady Eddie of the team. Obviously, we've known that for 4 years, but went 9 for 12 for 21 and 8 rebounds, and like always, kind of leaves you wanting more. Disappeared for. Because he was on the bench for a little bit of it, but disappeared for the first 10 minutes of that second half, let UConn come back in the game. Could be because, you know, they overplayed Perry, but, you know, he still disappears for that, you know, third quarter and has 9 for 12 for 21 and 8. Like, that is a full stat line.
Yeah.
But expect for teams to play Perry a lot and Perry to readjust, make those plays anyway.
You know, I think I saw somewhere, and I may be getting this wrong, but that game put him over the top 10 in all-time scoring at KU.
Yeah, I think he's number 9 now. I think he passed Dave Robish and Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah, so how about that?
And then I think he's only within 8
of props to Perry Ellis.
Yeah, so I think he can get up to 7 or 8, maybe. I looked
at least 50 of those points were dunks. We're Perry dunks.
At least 50. This season, at least 50.
At least 50 this season, we're Perry dunks. So there you go. Should have been many more and could be many more still. We'll see.
Okay, that's enough for the first two rounds. It's time to look forward, Kevin.
Yes,
we're not just content with making the Sweet 16. Nope. We need to go farther, and we need to go a lot farther.
Yes.
And to go that far, we need to have the engine of this team chugging and chugging and chugging as hard as he can. And the engine is obviously Frank the Tank Engine, Frank Mason. Didn't have a great game.
No.
Didn't have a great game against Austin Peay. Didn't have a great game against West Virginia. He'd been a little sluggish lately.
Yeah.
Some shots, making some bad decisions.
Turnovers.
You want to say, Self had a post-game chat with Frank. You want to know what happened, or tell us what happened there?
Actually, yeah, I think it was halftime. I know I wrote post-game. I think it was halftime, and he said, we called a play, and he threw it to the wrong side, and I was trying to tell him he needs to get his head into it. When things went south for him personally, I thought he quit being aggressive, lost a little focus. We're trying to get him back. So that was just a quote that Self said in the post game about the conversation with Frank. And I was looking back at his last three games, as you said. In West Virginia, he went 2 for 8. Austin Peay went 2 for 7. And UConn 1 for 8. That's 5 for 23 from the field and 0 for 7 from 3.
You know, a lot of those from the field are layups, too.
I know. Yeah, and he's not getting to the foul line as much. And I don't know, man. He hasn't been playing very well. And that's frustrating, because for basically most of the season, he was amazing and awesome. And obviously the first half of the season, before kind of Devontae really came on, he was really, like you said, kind of plugging us away and being the engine. We need him to continue to be the engine, because when I think that what Self said is, when we have 2 out of 3 of our guards score and score well, then we've been doing really well. We've been winning games. But I don't know about you, but it'd be nice to 3 out of 3 played well. And we might need 3 out of 3 to play well here coming down the stretch. So we got to get Frank right. And, we did this for Wayne. We did the whole Korea thing to bring him back to Korea. What do you think we ought to do to get Frank right? Do you have any suggestions?
We need to get a hold of Redhead.
All right. Hang on. Let me see if I can find Redhead. Let's try to get him on the line here. Excuse me. Yeah, Redhead, are you there? That's all you have to say, Redhead? So did you have any advice for Frank? Just to get his head right, get going, anything else? Perfect. Hey, so much thanks for coming on the show, Redhead. We really appreciate it. Maybe with Frank playing better here, we'll give you another call and give you some props for your advice. So there you go. I think he'll be okay now, right? He's got words from Redhead.
I think so. I think it's good. I think this is what he needed. He just needed to go back through the lyrics and analyze what he does.
Yeah.
And pull up on your girl like a defender waiting.
We're going to play that whole song underneath something before this podcast is over, or at the end. We're just going to have the song in here at some point. So you need to hear the entirety of the song. And we know Frank's listening, because of course he is. They all listen. And so Wayne, we have proof that they listen, because Wayne obviously listened.
Good juju that we created led to Wayne's success. I don't know if he necessarily listens. Well, of course he listens. But
he listens, yeah.
But him listening wasn't necessarily did it.
We're not sure if Hunter listens.
Well, I hope he doesn't.
We're not sure if Hunter listens. That's probably good, though.
Yeah. Okay, so is the song still playing?
No, it's actually never played. I was just doing the drop.
Okay.
You can't hear
it. So just play it. Well, we'll
peek
play
behind
it.
The curtain. Andrew can't hear any of the audio.
So when we transition from one thing to another, maybe just play the entire song.
Like when? Right now? When?
Well, when we transition just a little bit later, we'll have the whole song play in the middle of the podcast. We're not a traditional podcast. We like to play things out. We don't do short snippets of things. We play the whole BWE song at the end of our podcast, not just a closing part of it.
No, we got to play the whole song.
Yeah, so we'll play bitch I'm Frank Mason later on in full. It's all full blurry.
If you don't want to hear the whole song, just hit that 30-second or 15-second forward button a few times. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to listen
to that song. Just play it right now. Play it
right now.
Yeah, okay, so this is for you, Frank Mason. This is going to get you right. Just listen to the lyrics. Listen to what Redhead is saying about you. Focus on what those things are, and you'll be back in. You'll be back.
Be back.
Good to go. Sweet 16 ready.
All right, here we go.
Man, it's your boy, Frank Mason. Out here balling in Kansas and shit right now. But from Petersburg to Hopewell, I want to give a shout-out to my nigga Redhead and the whole NSG, man. I'm supporting the movement. Y'all boys do that rapping shit. Never stop grinding. Everything 100 with me.
What up, Frank? What up, Frank? Keep doing your thing, my nigga. It's Redhead, man. This shit right here, extreme, nigga. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm down in Kansas, ballin' like I play for Kansas. These niggas be hatin'. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. 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 Pull up on your girl like she a defender waiting. Bet I hit it. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. And I get straight to the point. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace. She asked me where I'm from. Told her that I'm from Virginia. Told her I've been ballin' ever since I can remember with this money. All of my man, it cost a lot of money for this time. I ain't said it till the right time. Got the gold in the rolling just to see it shine. Had it made it out the hood, but the hood ain't out of me. Still that same young nigga that was running through these streets. Same niggas that show respect me, the same niggas that envy me. Gotta make it to the top for my niggas that's posted on the block. Like Joel and B. Real nigga, I came up. Never can they say that I changed up. Young nigga just trying to make a way. Ballin' like a bitch, now I'm making play. Diamonds on my wrist so I can't complain. Designer what I'm in, can't pronounce the name. She let me drive to the hole, let it hit the lane. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mason. She keep calling me Frank Mason. Frank getting impatient. Cause I need that pussy now. You don't wanna keep Frank waiting. Ballin' like a dog. Every day my life is a vacation. I can't do this shit alone. Bitch, can you see him be the nation? Yeah, I'm down in Kansas. Ballin' like I play for Kansas. These niggas be hating. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. 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 Pull up on your girl like she a defender waiting. Bet I hit it. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. And I get straight to the point. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace.
I got zero problems, got zeros behind these numbers on all these checks. But if we have a problem, I call Fresh. Put zeros all on your check. And I'll pass your hold on my nigga. Count up my assists. I ain't oopin' your bitch. Andrew Wiggins, her shit. Yeah, that's teamwork, nigga. All gas, no brakes, make the dreams work, nigga. And never since the scenes on my jeans got bigger. She tellin' everybody she fuck with me. I never seen her, nigga. Somebody come get this bitch. Feeling like Bill Self with all these bills to myself. Double G's in my buckle, got some bills for this belt. Cause where I shop ain't nothing in there that they selling for cheap. And if she looking, bet I hit it like Wayne sold it for three. I know it's niggas right now that probably hate that I'm on. Probably hate the fact that I done put Frank name in the song. See, they love when you stuck, but they hate when you gone. So I'ma keep on ballin', nigga, fucking up they zone.
Yeah, I'm down in Kansas, ballin' like I play for Kansas. These niggas be hatin'. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. 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 Pull up on your girl like she a defender waiting. Bet I hit it. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. Bitch, I'm Frank Mace. And I get straight to the point. Cause bitch, I'm Frank Mace.
All right, what it do, man? It's your boy Kevin and your boy Andrew out here balling in Kansas and shit. Here we are. All right, we're back. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. And Frank, I hope you really took those words to heart. You definitely, you're the man. You need to find what Redhead was talking about there about you and bring it to the court. We need you. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
I think it's going to work. We've got a proven track record.
Mm-hmm.
Making these things work.
Except for the Hunter thing.
Except for the Hunter thing, which was the polar opposite.
Polar opposite. That did not work at all.
Like, everything went downhill for Hunter after the country song. Yeah. Luckily, we haven't done that for the Big 12. Or maybe we reverse jinxed the Big 12. For the most part, this college basketball championship season, with a lot of Big 12 teams, a lot of good Big 12 teams, going down to mediocre teams. Like, you know, sure, they're good now, but teams that they probably shouldn't have lost to.
What is going on,
man? We have Baylor losing to Yale. We have Texas losing to Northern Iowa. And it looks like Northern Iowa is going to beat Texas A&M.
That was a sweet half-court shot, though.
Well, oh, my God. That was crazy. That was crazy. I woke everyone up. West Virginia. And I'm not rooting for UNI by any means in anything, not even professional basket weaving.
But I love half-court shots.
Oh, half-court shots are the best.
They're the best.
We got West Virginia getting destroyed by Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah.
Texas Tech losing to Butler. You know, acceptable, but whatever. Okay, so those four losses are just kills the Big 12. And the ACC is going to get six teams in. So the narrative is going to be, oh, the ACC is such a better conference. Big 12 phonies again. I think the ACC snuck some teams in, like Syracuse and Duke, that, you know, some upsets happened in front of them, where those aren't very good teams, I don't think.
Yeah. I agree, but
Notre Dame as well.
Those upsets happening was because the Big 12 lost in the first freaking round. Right.
But I do think we've got three good teams.
That's right.
Facing into the Sweet 16, they've got, you know, potential to do some damage, and that's obviously including KU. But OU gets through, beat VCU. They play the winner of the Northern Iowa Texas A&M game, so probably Northern Iowa. Well, I think that game's going to end in about a minute, and then Iowa State has to play Virginia, the number one seed in that region. But I think Iowa State's got a pretty good.
Yeah,
they can win that game. I mean, the matchup's going to be weird for both sides.
Right.
But I think that plays well. I mean, it's not necessarily an entirely bad matchup for Iowa State. I just think it's really
weird.
It's just weird.
I think it could potentially be a good matchup for Iowa State. I think they could win that game. I don't know what the line's going to be, and maybe it's out somewhere. But I think they got a really good shot. You know, here's the thing. You hear about all these teams losing. Obviously, it wasn't great. It would have been nice to see some of those teams win and you know, I don't know, go 5-2 at least. But we went 3-4 in the Big 12. But look at the teams that are left. Kansas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. It's the three teams from the beginning of this season we said were the class of the Big 12. And I'll be damned if they're, at the end of the season, still the same three, even though Iowa State obviously tried to make a mess of it in the middle of the season. Here they are, along with Oklahoma, along with Kansas, you know, in the Sweet 16. So we'll see what happens. Potentially, Andrew, you know, two or three Elite Eight teams here too. I mean, if we get two teams in the Final Four, are people still having the conversation about how Big 12 is no good? Big 12 is a fluke? I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't really care a lot about like
how
well the Big 12 is perceived. If we get one in, that's all I care about, and the one is our team.
Yeah.
So, just it's interesting to think about. You know, we've had these conversations, but you know, Baylor losing early, West Virginia losing early, the Texas game was just so fluky and weird with the half court shot and with all that going on. Maybe it's acceptable, but the other two, you know, probably not. But let's talk a little bit about some other teams. This has been kind of a crazy tournament, Kevin. I know we say that every year, but I think that this year we actually might be true, or actually we actually might mean it. You know, every year something crazy happens, but we've had half-court shots. We've got tons of buzzer beaters. I was driving in my car Friday morning, just chilling. You know, you have your little car meditation sessions where you have your deep thoughts. And I thought to myself, you know what? A couple 12s beat 5s yesterday, but nothing crazy really happened. It was kind of a boring day. KU won, so that was good. But, you know, it was kind of a boring day. And then I thought to myself, it'll probably be the same way again. This was Friday morning. And I was...
Nope.
I was wrong. I was wrong. So you put together a couple list of first thing or for, you know, records that were set. Let's talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, on Friday, first day in NCAA tournament history that a 2, a 3, and a 4 all lost first round games. How about that?
That's crazy. And then this is the first time in the NCAA tournament that 10 double digit seeds won first round games. And so there are only 32 games in the first round. 10 of those wins were double digit seeds.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. 8 teams seeded 11 or worse advanced to the second round, which is the highest in tournament history. The worst seeded teams won 7 games on Thursday. So there were 7 quote upsets, at least on the seed line. And then 6 on Friday. Andrew, that's 13. In 2015, there were only 5 of those. So that gives you a little perspective on all the quote upsets. Now you look at the actual Vegas lines or KenPom or whatever else. Now some of those were not upsets, but on the seed line they were. So whatever you want to say about that with the bracket and how it was put together, say what you want. But interesting day. A lot of busted brackets out there.
Okay, tell me a couple of your favorite things that have happened. Like
the half court shots up there.
Yes. I mean,
that was pretty sweet.
Banked in half court shot. I was hope it was the last game of the day on Friday. I was actually hoping for overtime because I wasn't ready for the day to be done yet.
I know that
there's a Cincinnati game going on still. Was it Cincinnati St. Joe? Was that the other game? That game had like 3 minutes left. But I wanted overtime. I wanted more basketball. So I was like, okay, sweet. Overtime, we're gonna get more basketball. But I'm okay with a half-court shot. I love half-court shots. One other thing. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this for at least a little bit. Michigan State.
What?
Michigan State, though. What? Okay, so here's a couple. This could be your 1 over 16 in a different universe.
Yeah.
Because they could have very well easily seeded Michigan State 1 and Middle Tennessee a 16. Like just how the numbers work out, this could very well been your 16 over a 1. And you know what? Middle Tennessee kind of dominated that whole game.
Yeah.
Like they were ahead the whole game.
That did not look like a 15 seed. It did not look like, I mean, they came out, if you'd just not known the seeds and you looked at the two teams, just from the way that they were playing, like they weren't like banking in 3-pointers or anything. They weren't getting all this fluky stuff. I mean, they were just outplaying them the whole game. The whole game they led. It was crazy. It wasn't like they came back and made a bunch of threes late and somehow snuck away. No, they won the whole game. They dominated from start to finish. I could not believe that game. I just literally couldn't believe it. And then, of course, as this goes, and what I bet on, because we've had a lot of this experience. When there's a massive upset the first round,
then they get murdered
the second game. And they lost by 25 to a terrible Syracuse team today. So there you go. They lost by 25 to a team that probably shouldn't be in the field. And yet here they are in the Sweet 16 in Syracuse. So whatever. But yeah, a crazy game. I cannot believe what happened there. And, you know, you hear all this crazy stuff about Izzo being the best tournament coach out there. And, you know, he's got one of these little blips on the radar now too, like everybody else does. I mean, Coach K's obviously got some, Bill's obviously got some, Izzo's got some too.
It happens.
It just happens. I'm not sure what's going on in this UNI game, but I've seen like 4 straight turnovers by UNI. And it's now a 2-point game with 11 seconds left.
What?
I've been watching. Yeah, it was 9 points it was like a 9-point game with like a minute left. I'm just sitting here watching this. I can't believe what's happening. Oh my God. They just turned it over again. They just tied the game with 2 seconds
what?
Left. They had like 5 turnovers in the past, like 7 possessions.
Okay. So everything I just said about Northern Iowa.
I haven't been listening to you for the past few minutes. I've been watching this game.
I've been like trying to like guide you through this. You're like, you're not following. You're like, hey, Kevin, tell us about this. And you were like, not paying attention.
I'm sorry. I can't believe, like, they've been the most baffling turnovers too, like under their basket, just like trying to throw it off somebody and just throwing it up and making an alley-oop. Like, oh my gosh. Okay. So anyway, it's a tie game with 2 seconds left. So a chance for you and I, they have the ball with 2 seconds.
All right. Hey, so while we're watching this, tell me,
this is making the list. This is making the list.
Oh, so this is like epic in-game scenario.
Yes, it is. It's been crazy. Okay. Sorry. What were you saying? Go ahead.
Well, tell me your thoughts on Meet the Hoopers.
The commercial.
Yeah.
Amazing. In fact, it's my wife's favorite commercial right now. The one with the song. She doesn't like the storylines as much. She likes the song one.
DeAndre Jordan loses his ring. That one.
Right. Oh, like that's the storyline one. She likes the one that's like Meet the Hoopers. Da, 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 da. It's got the whole song, and all the things going wrong in the song. Pause for 1 second. I have to watch this half court heave. So you and I throws three quarter shot. Oh, off the backboard. It was close. Overtime. So, yeah, she loves this. She loves this commercial. And after like the fourth time, she's like, "I love this commercial." I'm like, can you name any of those players in the commercial? She's like, "No."
What? Doesn't matter. No. I tweeted out last night that I think I would binge watch The Hoopers if it was a real show.
I would too.
I would binge watch that show.
Who's your favorite one?
Oh, Damian Lillard, baby.
I love Kevin. I like Kevin Love.
The teenager.
Yeah.
The Hawks and the Hornets.
Yeah, all right. Sorry.
All right, let's so a couple other good things, crazy things. I think Thomas Walkup's beard, the lumberjack from Stephen F. Austin, great.
Absolutely.
Purdue choking away against Little Rock. What was that?
Yeah, that was crazy. What, lost a 14-point lead with 4 minutes left and lost the game?
I think Torian Prince pushing
Gathers
in the huddle was the most Baylor thing ever to happen. Two seniors pushing each other. Torian Prince's answer about how you get a rebound. That was great. The entire Kentucky Indiana game was great. But I think my favorite, other than the half court shot, was Twitter on Friday night regarding Sean Miller's shirt.
Absolutely. Twitter and the accompanying memes that went along with it.
The best one I saw
on point
was, well, there was the one where he was in the notebook and it was raining.
Yeah.
That was good. But my favorite one was simple but elegant, where they just superimpose the Michael Jordan crying face onto the sweaty shirt. Like, that's all it was. That's all it was. But that's my favorite.
I think a lot of people are really sick of the crying Michael Jordan meme.
I was.
I am not. Never going to be sick of it. Never, ever, ever. It is so funny to me. And I wait for it when something terrible happens. I like refresh Twitter for the next 3 minutes, and then, like, sure enough, no matter what happens, it's always there. I've never made one myself. Someone always comes through and hits me up with the crying Jordan face on whatever happened. Another good one, Andrew. I don't know if you saw the UK band member, the sax player.
There's always a band member who cries.
Last
year was the Villanova piccolo player.
Yep.
Now it's the Kentucky saxophone girl.
Yeah, that was good. And then one kind of unheralded one that really kind of, it was maybe got missed by a lot of people, but the Colorado cheerleader who's crying in the first round after losing to Connecticut. And she's like turning. It's kind of a close up. And then you see the Colorado Buffalo mascot give her a hug, like a consoling hug. It's a beautiful meme. It's just, you know, takes it all in. Last, Andrew, I don't know if you have another one here, but my favorite probably of the entire thing, and maybe not favorite, but like the one that really got me, Wayne's dunk. That's the best dunk of the tournament, right?
Oh yeah.
Not close.
I can't, there's a couple like last second ones that are good, but in terms of artfulness,
it was beautiful.
All right. I want to talk about Louisville. We don't know a lot about Louisville other than that's where Kentucky is. Kentucky Fried Chicken. They have some horse racing there.
The bat thing.
They have Louisville Slugger there. So we're going to get an expert in to talk about Louisville just for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know this guy. So I was on Twitter again, and I saw some dude tweet to Matt Tate, and he said, "Hey, I live in Louisville. Let me know if you need any suggestions on places to eat or bars or whatever." And I was like, "Hey, you want to come on our podcast and talk about those things?"
sorry, Matt Tate, we just stole your thunder.
So we're going to call this guy, at Jayhawk Doctor is his handle on Twitter. We don't know his name. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to meet here on the podcast, and he's going to give us some thoughts on Louisville. So we'll see how that goes. This is for all those folks driving down there. We want to make sure that you are well prepared for what you are going to be encountering. And I know that the Yelp app can only go so far. So we'll be right back with at Jayhawk Doctor. I get up. Hey, is this Michael?
Yes, this is.
Hey, Michael, this is Kevin and Andrew. I'm at Jayhawk Talk. Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. I just saw your tweet to Matt Tate, and it said that you live in Louisville. You had some suggestions potentially for folks coming down there to for restaurants or bars or whatever. We don't know anything about Louisville, so we're like, we need an expert, and I just happened to see you out there, and really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I got to the right place at the right time. I'm far from an expert. I lived here for about a year and a half, but, you know, I know enough for people that are in town to have a good time.
Good enough. All right, so let's start with places like around the KFC Yum! Exclamation mark center. Is there anywhere around there, bars or restaurants, that you recommend for KU fans?
Yeah, definitely. So the Yum Center is right downtown, near a waterfront park. There's, you know, if it's during the day before the game, there's actually a walking bridge that goes across the Ohio River down into Indiana into a town called Jeffersonville. Uh-huh. There's lots of good eats down there and places to walk around. It's kind of like a, you know, cutesy little riverside town. And then as far as on the Kentucky side, there's lots of areas right there. There's what's called 4th Street Live, which, if you're not too sick of power and light in Kansas City, Missouri, 4th Street Live is literally exactly the exact same thing, and it's by the exact same people as well.
Really?
So it has, yeah, exactly. So it has like Gordon Biersch, and it has a Jim Beam experience and Edwin Williams, Howl at the Moon, all those kind of things. But if
interesting.
If you're looking for something different, not too far away from the arena is a pretty good place called Down One Bourbon Bar, which is a good place to come get some custom drinks.
Now
there's
you're talking.
There's also kind of like a crossroads type area not too far away called Nulu. And over there, they've got a pretty good bar named Garage Bar, which is probably, it's maybe a little bit too far walking distance, but it's only a couple of miles away. It's easily Uberable, or you could just, drive there earlier in the day. There's a good place called Garage Bar. There's a place called Galaxy. There's actually if everyone is into Nashville hot chicken, there's a place called Royal that just opened up, which is pretty good.
Sweet.
Which is down there. And then, of course, you know, you have all of your chains are downtown as well. And, you know, I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but there's plenty of good places down near the arena.
That's great. That's great suggestions. Where can we get some good bourbon?
Some good bourbon. Well, you don't have to go too far. You can really go anywhere. In fact, near that 4th Street Live is what's called the Seelbach Hotel, which is one of the most famous hotels in Louisville. And that's actually, I don't remember where or who, but there's a place called President's Room there. And that's a good place to be able to get a drink. And I don't know all the background to it, but there's
President's Room. That sounds legit.
Yeah. The President's Room there is pretty good. There's a good place on Main Street, which is literally walking distance from the Yum Center. It's called Doc Crow's.
Okay.
It's called Doc Crow's Southern Smokehouse. They do like, it's an oyster and raw bar, and they do lots of really good bourbon drinks. And they've got a very extensive bourbon list, like 50 to 100 bourbons. And they're all from Kentucky. And then I'm going to have to self-refer back to Garage Bar, where they have something called the High Heat, which is a jalapeno-infused bourbon, which I actually just had with my brother who was visiting from Kansas City this weekend.
Was it good?
Highly recommended. It's It's a jalapeno-infused bourbon with a spray of absinthe on top, actually.
Hello. All right, the garage bar sounds like where I want to be.
All right, Michael, yeah, exactly. I got one question for you. This is Andrew. Let's say, knock on wood, we stick around for another day going to the Elite Eight. KU fans need some time to kill. Any touristy things they can do on that day off?
Sure, there's plenty of good touristy things both within Louisville and then also actually a little farther away. So right near downtown, near the arena, is the Muhammad Ali Center, which is a museum dedicated just to Muhammad Ali, and then also to it's pretty big into social action. There's a lot of social action stuff there, and then a lot of like awards and like Muhammad Ali's boxing gloves and his boxing cape gown, whatever that's called, is down there as well. There's, of course, what everyone knows when they think of Louisville, they think of as horses, right? So there's the Kentucky Derby Museum, which is kind of on the south side of Louisville near the airport. There is the Louisville Slugger Museum, where you can go there and kind of walk around, look at George Brett's little plaque there, as he's the only Royals Hall of Famer. But there's some fun stuff to do there. And then there's actually really good stuff within 30 minutes to 90 minutes away. If you guys or any of your listeners really enjoy bourbon, there's something called the Bourbon Trail, which essentially is a book you can get. You can go to all these different distilleries around the Louisville area. There's a tour, I think it's called the Mint Julep Tour, and they'll take you on a bus around to all the different distilleries in the area. So there's like Wild Turkey and Woodford Reserves, Buffalo Trace, Evan Williams, you name it. Anything that's made here in Kentucky, you can drive to within 30 or 90 minutes. There's what's called Mammoth Cave, which is actually a national park. It's the biggest cave in North America. It's actually 405 miles, and you can check that out. I just went there this weekend for the first time, actually, so that comes highly recommended. It's a good time. And then, you know, if people don't have enough things to do in the Louisville area for the 24 hours they have without basketball, they could go to Nashville, which is only a 2.5-hour drive.
Sweet. All right, man. You are a wealth of information for only being there a year and a half. We really appreciate it, man. I've lived in Kansas City for like 10 years, and I don't know half of that stuff from Kansas City. So you're killing it. You are perfect timing for coming on. We truly appreciate you staying up late with us and coming on. And go follow at Jayhawk Doctor on Twitter. He's the man.
All right, great. Yeah, and then if anyone else wants any more suggestions for Westport type areas or anything, just let me know.
Just tweet at Jayhawk Doctor, just spelled out. He knows it all. All right, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate it. You have a good night.
Okay, thanks. You too.
Rock chalk.
Thanks, man.
Rock chalk. Bye.
All right. Well, there was Jayhawk Doctor coming through in the clutch. Man, that guy knew everything about Louisville. He needs to be on like the Chamber of Commerce or something.
Right. Well, what I liked is he threw everything back to like Kansas City related. This is your crossroads. This is your power and light. Yeah. This is So that's was nice. Perfect. Are you keeping up on this Northern Iowa game, Kevin?
Yes.
It's not getting any it's getting kind of crazier.
Yeah, yeah. It's we're going into another overtime. Double overtime here as we speak. I was listening to Jayhawk Doctor, but also watching and trying to.
This is March Madness. This is when there's 100 games on. You're trying to do 100 other things, but you just get focused on the games. Okay, we need to preview Maryland.
Yeah, speaking of 100 other things, we just got word from a Maryland blogger that would be available to come on the podcast. So we're going to get another guest on. Let's just do this right now. I'm not even going to stop the podcast, Andrew. We're just going to go right through. I got to figure out how to call him without stopping this. So you just keep talking. I will get this guy going, and I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to power rank the Hoopers. Okay?
All right, do that.
So I'm going to start from the last to the top. I'm going to say Chris Paul, worst. The dad, Chris Paul, is the worst. He's the worst Hooper. Not a huge fan. I'm going to go DeAndre Jordan, number four. Just not doing it for me. Like but it's just so strict. Like there's so many good Hoopers in this family. DeAndre Jordan, just put a wig on. That's all you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Three. I'm going to have some talkback on this. Kevin Garnett as the grandpa. Yeah, I get it. He's old. He kisses his ring. It's kind of funny, but I think it really comes down to the top two. You and I are going to differ on this. I'm going to say that Kevin Love is 2 and Damian Lillard is 1. I think Damian Lillard is hilarious as a baby. You like Kevin Love as a teenager, though.
I think it's just the kid thing. I think the two of them are close. All right, good. I got this guy up. Okay, this is Dave Tucker, Andrew. And he is a Maryland blogger, and I'm going to have a much better introduction for him once he comes on, because I can't remember anything else. Testudo Dave, and he writes for, let's look it up here. This is great podcasting. He writes for, he's the co-manager of the Testudo Times, which looks like it is the SB Nation blog of Maryland. So perfect. This guy knows his stuff. This is exactly what we need. So the Testudo Times. Am I saying that right? Testudo Times? Is that a thing? Is that like a Maryland thing we should know? Like Rock Chalk Talk is ours? Okay. All right. Well, let's get him on here. Let's see what we got. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hey, this is Kevin with Jayhawk Talk. You're actually on the podcast now. I got Andrew here as well. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Congrats to Maryland on the big win tonight against Hawaii. That was an interesting game there for a while, and then Maryland figured out that they were a lot better team.
Yeah, they've done that a lot of times this season, where they kind of play down to their competition to some extent and then end up coming through at the end.
Okay, so give us a little background on you and what you do so our listeners can find you.
Sure. So I'm one of the co-managers of Testudo Times, which is SB Nation, University of Maryland blog. So I've covered the team for a number of years. We cover all aspects of the university, aside from just basketball, pretty much every sport that Maryland plays. So we've been covering them through the tournament so far this year, and glad that they finally get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 13 years.
Hey, this is Andrew. Just want to say we do have a fine place in our heart for Mark Turgeon, KU alumni, coach of Wichita State for a while from Topeka. So we love Turge. We root for Turge most of the time. We just won't be rooting for Turge on Friday, Thursday, whenever it is.
It's funny. In his post-game interview, he talked about Kansas and talked about that and essentially said he wishes it was any other team besides Kansas. And he also said he thought they were the best team, which I agree with him. I think they're the best team in this year's tournament. But I think it's going to be hard for him to go against his alma mater like that, especially in such a big game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game, though, I think. I think the teams match up fairly well. Some interesting matchups there. You know, I just want to talk about your team for a minute. I know you started off really hot, 15-1, I think, and to start the season and got up to 22-3. But down the stretch, you had a couple falters down to the end of the season. So what happened there? And do you think they've kind of corrected whatever problems were going on there?
I think the biggest issue for Maryland is that Melo Trimble really struggled. Exactly why he struggled is just a shooting slump. He had injured his hamstring. That was bothering him. No one's entirely sure. But with Melo not doing what he was normally capable of doing in terms of shooting, especially with his outside shot, Maryland really, really struggled. And the biggest kind of peak of that was when they lost to Minnesota on the road, which was just, you know, by far their worst loss of the season, and really had people scratching their heads and still scratching their heads today. More recently, though, especially getting into the Big Ten tournament, Trimble started to be playing a lot better with a lot more confidence. And the emergence of Jake Layman, I think, is the other thing that's really kind of helped spark Maryland recently. They have so much talent on their team. They have five starters who all average in double figures. They've got several NBA caliber players on their team. But they haven't been able to really put that together all year. Either they've had defensive losses, they've had scoring losses, they've had turnover issues, and they're finally starting, it seems like, to pull all those things together now. And if they can do that, they can be one of the best teams in this tournament. But the problem is they haven't been able to do that on a consistent basis.
Well, it seems like, I mean, you mentioned Jake Layman. Like, he's been killing it lately. I think, I don't know what he had tonight. I can't remember. But I saw he had 27 the last game, and three of the last four he was the leading scorer. I mean, has he kind of been the one that has really kind of turned the tide and made the team a little bit more whole?
Yeah, I think Layman has really done. He's really been more assertive, and I think he was kind of okay taking a back role a little bit with the team this year. He's been a phenomenal defender for Maryland. He's been one of their best defenders, but really offensively, he's come through a lot lately for Maryland. You mentioned that 27 point output, and again, it's just him, I think, being assertive and having the offense go through him a little bit more than it has in the recent past.
What do you see as an interesting matchup in this game? And I don't expect you to know KU's roster up and down, but like, for instance, you know, Diamond Stone being obviously a force, you know, like going up against our front line, what do you think potentially could be a matchup that Maryland could look to exploit or potentially just generally could be a fun storyline?
I really think the front courts for both of these teams, I think they're going to be able to both kind of go in there and, you know, bang around underneath the basket. I think that's just going to be really interesting to watch. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Both teams have such great, talented players. And then for Maryland, it's really going to be, you know, they weren't the point today where they just could not make a basket. And Kansas just does such a good job of being consistent and exploiting other teams and going on runs and building these nice leads. I saw them do it against Connecticut the other night. And Maryland just can't afford to do something like that. If Maryland plays to their potential, I think you could see a great game that will come down the line. But if Maryland lapses in any way, if that's turnovers or, like tonight they went, I think, 1 for 18 down the arc. You know, they can't do anything like that against Kansas. So it's going to be interesting to me to see if Maryland can finally put together that full, complete game for 40 minutes. If they can't, then, you know, they have no chance of winning. If they do, then I think you're going to see a really great, exciting game.
What do you see as the, you know, the biggest strength of Maryland's team and then also the biggest weakness?
I think for Maryland, one of their biggest weaknesses is they like to settle, I think, for an outside shot a lot. They have the capability of going inside, and when they run the ball inside and go inside out, I think they're much more effective on their offense. They've also been really susceptible to turnovers in the past. That's something that's haunted them throughout this season. They only had 11 tonight, but throughout the season, you know, they've been kind of careless with the ball at times, and they're not going to be able to do that again against a Kansas team that's just too talented to be able to overcome something like that. They have a fantastic backcourt in Melo Trimble and Rasheed Suleiman. I think if both those guys are playing up to their potential, then, you know, they can do a lot, especially if they're hitting their outside shot. That's another thing for Maryland. If they're hitting that outside shot, it really just opens up their offense a lot. Again, they have a really talented front court with Diamond Stone. Robert Carter Jr. is a guy that I think some people overlook sometimes, who he can do a lot in the low post and is extremely talented. And I think Maryland is also extremely good at getting to the free throw line and making free throws. And Melo Trimble might be one of the best guards in the country at drawing contact and getting to the line. And they're going to need to do that, I think, in order to have success against Kansas. But again, it's all a question of whether they can put that complete package together.
Great. Well, one last question for you. Do you so he's Diamond Stone, 6'11", right? And big guy, big wide player. One thing that I noticed, though, is that you guys don't get a lot of offensive boards. Do you send people back most of the time, or is it just I don't know. I was looking tonight, even in the Hawaii game, it was like 16-2 in offensive rebounds in favor of Hawaii. Is that a potential thing that KU is going to be harping on pretty strongly and crashing the boards on the offensive end, or is that something that you guys is just kind of a one-time thing?
No, that's the other thing that's really haunted Maryland this season is their rebounding. They have these very tall guys who are capable of, you know, grabbing and securing those rebounds, and a lot of times they have been out-rebounded by other teams. They've really struggled on the offensive glass, and that's definitely something that Kansas could exploit against Maryland. And part of that is a lot of times when Maryland's putting a shot up, they're not crashing the boards. They're sending guys back on defense. We saw them attacking the rim a little bit more, trying to secure rebounds tonight. There were a couple times when I saw that happen, but a lot of times Spurgeon has them going back on defense to get his defense set off ahead of the ball coming back down. So that's definitely something that a team like Kansas can try to exploit against a team like Maryland.
Fair enough. All right. Well, Andrew, do you have any other questions before we let Dave get back to his I'm sure very busy blogging tonight?
Yeah. So tell us the name. Is it the name of the mascot? Is the name of the website?
So our mascot is Testudo, and that's okay. Kind of where the name of the website came from. So TestudoTimes.com.
Perfect. And you can follow Dave at Testudo Dave. And Dave, man, we really appreciate you coming on short notice. I just I follow you on Twitter, and I just happened to see you say something, and I was like, because I follow all these bloggers everywhere just to keep up on other teams, and I was like, oh, perfect. I wonder. And then you responded right away and came on, man. I truly appreciate it. Go follow Testudo Dave, and hope we have a really good game on Thursday. I don't want to say good luck to you, but, you know, good luck to a good game. How about that?
Exciting game. I agree. I really hope it's a good game, and I'm looking forward to it.
Likewise. All right, man. Well, you have a good night. We will catch up with you in Louisville.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go. Testudo Dave has been on the podcast now. We got two guests tonight, really put together in the beginning, actually during the podcast. we put these guests together while the podcast has been going. Maybe this is what we should do, Andrew. I'll just follow people on Twitter. I'll just reach out to them and be like, hey, we're recording a podcast. Do you want to come on?
And just see what happens.
It worked. So, and good info there on Maryland. I think that he's right. The front line has been kind of interesting. Like he said, you know, you look at their KenPom numbers and you wonder, okay, so that they got all this height and got obviously a great front line, but they're not a very good rebounding team. And especially offensive rebound, they're actually terrible, but they're pretty good in their effective field goal percentage, though. They're 10th in the country in the top 25 offense overall. So what are your thoughts on this game, Andrew?
You know, they've got two NBA players in Diamond Stone and Melo Trimble. Melo Trimble, you know, came into the year highly touted, had a pretty good beginning of the year, kind of fallen off a little bit, but he'll play in the NBA next year. Could have played in the NBA or went to the draft last year. So they've got talent on the team. Just going to be whether they can put it all together. I'm still picking the Jayhawks in this one. You know, we can talk about, you know, whether somebody has an NBA player or the best players, but I think KU is the best team. Bill's going to have them ready for Thursday. I'm liking this matchup, but I think it's going to be challenging.
I do too. I'm not sure what the Vegas line is yet. I was actually kind of looking it up as we were sitting here. But I think that KU will be favored by, 4.5, 5?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
4?
But it could change. I mean, who knows? But that's first thing kills my mind. It could be less.
Yeah, it could be less. Anyway, well, hopefully we have a nice contingent of KU fans heading out to Louisville. You now have all the information you need. You know all about Louisville, thanks to Jayhawk Doctor. You know all about the matchup, thanks to Testudo Dave. And by the way, I did say Testudo right. Thank you very much. I'm glad you looked up what it was, though.
Well, I did, and then I just wanted to confirm it. Yeah. I did
not know. Oh, crap. We just missed a buzzer beater. We just missed a buzzer beater, Andrew.
Oh, no.
Wisconsin just beat Xavier on a buzzer beater.
Oh, I was on Northern Iowa.
I was too.
Oh, this is so crazy.
Why are we recording this now? Why didn't we wait an hour?
Well, you said you wanted to go to bed. Why do you want to go to bed during March Madness, Kevin? All right, do you want to play a game before we go?
Yeah, I want to watch this buzzer beater, but go ahead. Yeah, do the game. Let's do the game.
Player drop.
Oh, yeah, I got to do the drop. Man, I've got people calling people here. I'm trying to look up this game winner. I'm trying to watch this game up here. I'm trying to podcast. Now you want me to do a drop too? Like, this is a lot of work, man. All right. Now I got to change my window. All right, what are we doing?
A game.
Oh, step your game up.
What you looking at?
Step your game up.
What you waiting for?
Step your game up.
Gonna come on in the dub.
Step your game up.
Drop it to the floor and just.
All right, Andrew, hit me. What do you got this week? I have no idea.
This game is NCAA tournament player or rapper that performed at South by Southwest last week.
Oh, man. Very nice. Okay, yeah. I like this.
NCAA tournament player or rapper that was the South by Southwest in Austin, Texas last week. All right, you ready? First, we're going to go through these fairly quickly because I think we want to go watch the end of these games. First one, DJ Hogg.
That's a rapper.
That is not. That is a player for Texas A&M.
Oh, really? I should know that.
Get it, DJ, like not DJ, like his like name is DJ, like from.
Right, no, that was good. That was good. Off to a bad start.
Off to a bad start. DJ Hogg, Texas A&M. Actually, this game is on right now. DJ Hogg is not playing. Deshaun Thrower.
Basketball player.
That is a basketball player from Stony Brook. That's Deshaun Thrower from Stony Brook. You ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Roosh Williams. Roosh Williams.
I'm going to go with rapper.
That is a rapper. He performed at the Clive Bar in Austin, Texas on Saturday.
Good for him.
All right, ready for...
I'm making a little rally here. Yeah, feeling good.
So are you're two for three. All right, you ready for the next one? Denzel Curry.
That's a basketball player.
That is a rapper. He performed on Saturday at the Mohawk Indoor.
What if he was also a basketball player? You don't know.
Well, it's not in the tournament.
A&M's going to win this game, by the way.
Yeah. The next one, Booby Lutavelli.
Basketball player.
That is a rapper. He performed Saturday also at the Mohawk Indoor. Next one, Calvin Martyr. Martyr.
Rapper.
That is a rapper. He performed on Wednesday at the Promised Land Church in Austin, Texas. as an official part of South by Southwest. Okay, you ready? Two more. Okay. I've got two more. Chance Comanche.
That is a basketball player.
That is a basketball player.
That's a great basketball player name.
Yeah, from Arizona.
I knew that one. That's last one. That's my favorite basketball player name.
Last one, rapper for South by Southwest or basketball player? Jaren Skeet. Jaren Skeet.
I want it to be a rapper, but I think it's a basketball
player. It is a basketball player. He's from Buffalo.
All right. I don't know what I did, but I feel like I got more than half.
Yeah, I can't remember, but you did pretty well. Kevin, any final words for the Jayhawk faithful as they all traverse to Louisville or Louisville in spirit in competition against the Maryland Terrapins?
I'm just super excited. You know, like for the past couple of years, as you mentioned, we ended basketball season a little early compared to what we thought we should end it. And this year we didn't, Andrew. And I don't know that you're playing with house money yet, but you got to feel like you're getting close to that. And I don't know about, like, I don't enjoy these games that much. Like, I stress out. Like, I get tense. I'm a stress ball during March Madness. And I will start to really enjoy March Madness if we make it into the Final Four. Until we get there, though, I am like a wreck. I'm a total wreck. And I know there's a lot of people out there the same way. So, like, I'm going to do my best to try to enjoy it, try to enjoy the ride, as they say. I suggest you all try to do it, too. I'm going to be really bad at it, but I'm going to try to enjoy this ride because this team's a lot of fun to watch. They've been the best team in basketball since, January? And, Andrew, they've won 16 games in a row. We just got to win four more.
Four more, Kevin.
Four more games.
I want everybody to relax, find inspiration, get excited. I want Wayne Selden to keep doing his Korean meditation. I want Frank Mason to keep listening to Redhead. I want everyone to listen to a lot of Redhead in the next couple days, just to kind of get the juices flowing for Frank Mason. But yep. I'm looking forward to Thursday. It's going to be a huge game. Turge, sorry, we're coming after you.
Coming after you. Really appreciate all of you guys tuning in. Thank you for putting up with all of our nonsense during this podcast. Usually we do some editing occasionally when we have people on. This time we decided to just roll with it because we wanted to watch basketball. You can understand that. Please continue to go out to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. We had a couple new ones, Andrew. One of them from Robbie 3456230923. I wonder if those numbers have any significance. Why listen to a national sportscaster who can't even pronounce Sviatoslav? I like that. Come listen to some dedicated fans who care enough about the team to actually learn how to say their players' names before pretending to know everything about the player's ability. Well, that's true. We do pretend to know a lot of things. But thank you, Rob 3456902 3, whatever. Then we have Twister and Farian doing it right. That is what these kids are doing. I don't know if they're talking about us or someone else, but thank you very much, Twister Farian. And then very entertaining Rock Chalk from KCM313. Please also join these fine folks. Leave us a rating and comment on iTunes. It lets us get the podcast out to new listeners. Hopefully this one is not the first one they listened to because we were all over the place tonight. But you know why? We are jacked. We are so excited about March Madness. Andrew, any closing words before we get out of here?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk. We'll see you next time. Hopefully, talking a little Final Four. Until then,
it's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks.
That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk